go through trials in life, you certainly become aware, even more so, of how wonderful heaven really will be and how thankful we are tonight that we have that promise as God's children. You know, we go through a lot of struggles, a lot of difficulties in life, and in the midst of those difficulties, sometimes we do not see the light or the benefit of having trials. David said, "It's good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." There was a story told several years ago about a woman with her little baby, and she was riding in a stagecoach in western Montana, and the weather was bitter cold outside, and in spite of all the driver could do to protect her, he saw that the woman actually was becoming unconscious from the cold. He stopped the coach, took the baby, and wrapped it warmly, put it under the seat, then seized the mother by the arm and, dragging her out upon the ground, drove away, leaving her in the middle of the road. And as she saw him drive away, she ran after him, crying furiously for her young baby. And when he felt sure that the woman was warm, he allowed her to overtake the coach and resume her place by her baby. Can we not imagine the gratitude when she realized what had happened in life? For this stagecoach driver had actually saved her life. Now, to us, that seems cruel. You know, sometimes I think God is much like that stagecoach driver. God allows us to experience things in life that we seem to be very harsh and cruel. But God allows it to happen for purposes we know not now. Sometimes in life we believe that everything that happens to us is in terms of something that bad happens to us. We can't see any good from it at all. But that's just not the case. Jesus understood the trials and the problems that we face in life. In John, the 16th chapter, Jesus alluded to the fact that in this life you will have trouble and tribulation. And no one knew it better than our Lord. For Jesus experienced burdens, he experienced troubles, he experienced trials and difficulties. The same trials and burdens and difficulties that come our way. One philosopher said that a Christian without affliction is like a soldier only on parade, and it's true. Think about it. If we never ever had problems in life, would we ever grow? No, I don't think so. We grow through the difficulties and the problems that we have in life. Well, tonight I want to talk to you on the subject, how to handle what's handling you. And I'm going to ask you the question tonight, what is handling you? Who has a grip on your life tonight? Does God have a grip on you? Is he handling you, or is someone else or something else handling you? Probably one of the most profound passages of scriptures found in the book of Matthew and even in all the New Testament are the words of Christ in the 11th chapter of Matthew, verse 28 and following. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I believe tonight that God enables us to bear our burdens with his help. And that's really what he said, wasn't it? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," those of us who are borne down with the burdens and the trials of life. Well, let me suggest to you, there are three things that I really believe that you and I need to do. I would tell you, first of all, that we are to take our burdens to the right place. You know, there are a lot of things that we do with our burdens that are not necessarily the right thing to do. Sometimes we believe that fretting is going to help us. Fretting will not help you at all. Have you ever seen people going through problems and they just kind of wring their hands? And if they're not wringing their hands, they are doing it mentally. And they're allowing all these problems that they encounter in life to shake their faith and to disrupt their joy that God intends for them to have. Fretting will not help you. It will not. I know sometimes people believe it to be true. Jesus rebuked Martha, if you will, in the book of Luke chapter 10, because she fretted about things that were really unnecessary. Jesus said, made his way into that community of Bethany and was going to actually eat at their house. And Martha was in the house stirring and very aggressively working to prepare for the master who would come. But when Jesus got there, Mary went out, greeted Jesus, fell at his feet, eager to see the Lord. And yet Martha was busy stirring. As a matter of fact, she got all upset because Mary, her sister, was not helping her. And so she asked Jesus to get Mary to assist her in preparation. And Jesus said something that is immortal. He said, "Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." You know, sometimes I think that God looks at us and he sees us just like Martha. Let me ask you a question today. What are you troubled about? Are you troubled about something tonight in your life that's going on? Now, let me ask you another question. Were you troubled last week? Do you remember what you were troubled about last week? Most of us could not tell us what we were troubled about. We worry and we get anxious, and Paul says that we're not to be anxious in anything, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, but we are a people that fret. And when we have those problems in our hands and we're having to shuffle and deal with them in life, sometimes we just kind of fret and think that they are going to go away. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. For ye believe in God, believe also in me." John 14 and verse 1. But there's another thing that people do, and sometimes this does not always work. That's why we need to take our burdens to the right place. Now, you know, I have a lot of friends, and I appreciate friendship, but you know what? Friends do not always have the answer to what is troubling you in life. Job tried to tell his friends about his burden. Now, Job had been going through all kinds of adversity. You well remember how God had the conversation with the devil, and God allowed the devil to test Job in just about every dimension of his life. He tested Job from the standpoint of material things. He tested him spiritually. He tested him from the standpoint of physical things in his life, maladies, sickness, problems that were going on with his body. But in all of this, the Bible says that Job did not charge God foolishly. And he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." He said, "When I am tried, I will come forth as gold." And he did. But like most friends, when Job was going through his problems, they rushed over to comfort Job. And in the course of the comforting, you know, they opened their mouth and they said the wrong thing. How many times have you ever done that? How many times have you ever been over to someone's house and maybe you tried to comfort them and maybe it just didn't come out? There's some people that I will not take with me to the hospital, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. They have said the wrong thing a lot of times. I'll never forget taking someone with me one time, and we had gone to the hospital, and this woman was very, very ill and with a particular illness. And the gentleman that I carried with me began to say to her, "You know what, my uncle had that and he didn't last long at all." Well, you can imagine what that would do to that woman's faith and, you know, her consternation. Well, it certainly was not the right thing to say, even though friends are mean well, and they want to do the right thing. Sometimes they just don't say the right thing. Well, Job's friends thought that, well, we'll just go over there and we'll rebuke Job, because obviously he's committed some kind of sin or he wouldn't be going through this. God just does not do this. God just does not test us. God doesn't allow these things to happen. Not Jehovah God. Wrong. God does allow it to happen, and he has a purpose behind it. But Job soon found out that his friends were physicians of no value at all. Job 13 and verse 4. The problem with friends is that sometimes they will lie to you. They will allow you to wallow in your self-pity and tell you that you have a right to do so. They may even sympathize with you, but they can't really help you with the real burdens in life. Even if it rips your heart out. But there's another thing people do sometimes, instead of going to the right person. It is they seemingly want to flee or run from the problems. You will never, ever be able to run away from the problems that you face in this life. Israel found that out in the book of Numbers chapter 13 and also chapter 14. And go back and read in the book of Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter. I heard about a woman one time, and I read this the other day. Her name was Patricia Christie, and she heard that there was a horrible hurricane coming to Florida. It was Andrew back in 1992. Maybe some of you remember that. Well, anyway, she wanted to get as far away as she could from Florida, so she got on a boat, or rather on a plane, first plane out, headed to Hawaii. And when she arrived there, she arrived just in time to meet Typhoon Iniki. Fleeing will not help you. You cannot run far enough from your problems. They have a way of following you. But then fourthly, sometimes people fight their problems. That seems to be a logical response to the burdens of life, is just to fight against those things that seemingly want to overtake our life. A lot of people live in denial and fight what they called when they are called to face those problems. You know, fighting against God, and when God allows those things to happen to you, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sometimes it's a very dangerous thing to fight against God. And if you're not careful, you will find that you are fighting against the Lord. That's why it's important to go to the Father. He throws open his arms and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He helps us through those difficult passageways in our life. He is our shepherd, Psalm chapter 23, verse 1 through 6. And when Jesus taught the disciples to pray in Luke, the 11th chapter, he gave them a new name for God. Matter of fact, if you were to go back in the Old Testament, the Jewish folks had all kinds of names for God. But he gives them another one. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven." Our Father. It's the first time that I remember, according to my recollection of Scripture, that God was called Father. But he is here. And Jesus said, "Hallowed be thy name." We need to transfer our burdens to the right person, and there is one who cares. He is one who walked through loneliness. He is one who walked through need and difficulty and even death itself. He was hated. He was one who was loved. He was one who was accepted. He was one who was rejected. And there is one who can do something about your situation. And that's God. He can change what we face and how we face it in life. Stop and think about it, folks. We need to transfer our burdens on him. Didn't Peter say, "Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you"? Secondly, if God can take his fingers and throw the stars of the heavens and they lodge where they will, your problem is nothing for God. My problem is nothing for Jehovah. But there's one last thing that we need to do, and that is to trust our burdens to the right provision. You know, God responds to our problems in different ways, and we all have them. We pray about them every day, whether it's a financial problem you're going through, whether it's a physical problem, whether it's a spiritual problem that exists in your life tonight and you're having great difficulty dealing with it, and it seems to be handling you instead of you handling it and God handling it. Let me tell you, there are three things that I think that God does. Sometimes he removes the burden. When you go to God, and Jesus said that, didn't he? In Matthew 11, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's kind of like you're going to unload that burden, isn't it? It is. Now, sometimes God will remove the burden. There are times when God changes the situation in an instant, just like that. And he removes the burden. Think about the widow of Zarephath. You know anything about history, Old Testament history, and the book of 1 Kings chapter 18 and what God did for this woman? In an instant. It just happened like that. I'm telling you, God can do whatever God wants to do. And sometimes we just have to trust his provision, whatever it is. Sometimes he removes the burden. He takes it away. Sometimes he will relieve the burden. There are times when God will take, secondly, the burden off of your shoulders for a time to lighten the load a little bit. He did this for Ruth in the Old Testament. Remember the story of Ruth and Boaz in the book of Ruth, chapter 2 and chapter 3? He allowed their paths to cross and lightened her burden. Sometimes God will relieve our burden for a while. Then it comes back. But then last of all, and thirdly, sometimes he will rest us in our burden. This is the most common that we receive from God. He gives us grace to carry the load that we have been assigned to carry. Do you know, most of the time we ask God to remove the burdens. That's what we really do. Very seldom have you ever heard anybody say, God, just give me a stronger back that I can bear up under this. Most times it's God, take that burden away. Instead of saying, God, give me a stronger constitution spiritually to help me face whatever I have to face. The glory of God changing us in our situation instead of him just changing our situation. Let me ask you, which is far better? Is it better for him to change your situation or to change your attitude toward God in whatever you have to face? Surely the latter is the more important. That God changes us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul reminds us of that. Paul said too, if you remember, that the Lord will not allow us to be tried above that which we are capable of handling in life. Let me tell you something. Now, whether you agree with this or not, I really agree with it. I think sometimes God allows certain things to come into our life to help us grow. I really believe that. Sometimes those things are not pleasant to us. It's not something we desire. It's certainly not the schoolroom or the classroom that we would choose on our own. But we grow through adversity. We grow through trial. We do. You know, when you first started walking physically, I doubt very seriously, I don't know if anybody here was able to do that but me. I got up and just started walking. No, I'm teasing. I didn't do that. I fell several times. At least that's what they told me. I don't remember. But you did too. I don't know what you're laughing about, because you did too. You fell several times, but you got back up. You fell again, but you got back up. And now you walk freely today. And what could have been adversity, falling and hurting yourself, seemed to be something that was advantageous to you. Well, that's the way life is, isn't it? You know, I'm sure that when Job came out of all of those trials and affliction, Job had a much stronger faith. Let me tell you again why I really believe that is true. Because God restored all that Job had, and much, much more to boot. God doesn't give that to the unfaithful. He says, I will not withhold anything from them that walk uprightly. And I believe that Job was a much stronger person because he went through the trial and the affliction of life. And you know what? You can too. and it's a matter of how we perceive it. It is a matter of what we're going to do with it. Sometimes God will immediately remove it. Sometimes he will relieve it. Sometimes he will rest us in it. He will change our attitude toward whatever we have to face. And you know what? When the Apostle Paul came to the end of the way, and there couldn't have been anyone more spiritual than one who was focused on problems than the Apostle Paul. And when he came to the end of the way, he said, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I didn't acquiesce. I didn't give up. I finished the course. And henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day. And not only to me, but to all of them that love his appearing. And oddly enough, sometimes we leave out that first verse that says, when Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. You know what that meant? It meant sacrifice. I'm ready to be offered. Few of us are ready to be offered. You know why? Because we haven't kept the faith sometimes. Sometimes it's because we haven't really finished the course. I hope tonight that each and every one of us will allow God to take our problems. You know, there are packages sometimes you get in the mail, and on the outside of that package, there's a red stamp on it that says, handle with care. You know what God does? God reaches out to us, and it's just like it's just written all over us, handle with care. God did not allow Satan to impose upon Job any more than he was capable of bearing, and he bore it. And so whatever we have to face in life, we just have to remember that God is still there, and God watches over us, and he gives us strength. And I'm so thankful tonight that he does. I hope you are too. We're going to sing our song of encouragement tonight. If you're a child of God and you're struggling and maybe you find it difficult to bear the burden that you're bearing at this moment and you want the Lord's church here to pray for you, that God would strengthen you and give you a stronger spiritual constitution to face what you have to face in life. Or perhaps maybe even in some way God could remove that burden or alleviate it from your life. Sometimes he does that. But we just pray about it, whatever it is, and we ask God's will to be done. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can obey the gospel. You can become a Christian by surrendering your life to Jesus and confessing his sweet name and being baptized tonight. And Dwight has selected this song of encouragement that we're going to sing. And as we stand and as we sing it, if you feel compelled to respond, we invite you to do so. Let us stand and let us sing.